segment is Atkins versus Brown. Mr. Koselke.
May it please the Court, Your Honor. My name is Eric Koselke, and I represent Vail Atkins. This case is essentially about a lawyer who, in opening argument, stood up and knowingly lied to the jury. He told the jury that he was going to present evidence of an alibi, and when he made the statement, he knew he had no evidence to support an alibi. He had not filed a notice of alibi as required by Indiana law. He had no witnesses to support the alibi defense, and he never tendered a jury instruction on an alibi defense. The Indiana Court of Appeals unreasonably applied Strickland versus Washington because when you read the opinion,
how did it hurt him?
Because he promised, in essence, promised the jury, I'm going to show you that Mr. Atkins was in Georgia at the time this offense occurred. When he gave his closing argument, he didn't make any mention or even refer to the alibi. He basically switched defenses in the middle of the trial and then tried to argue misidentification or lack of credibility of the state's witness. Any trial lawyer will tell you you can't switch defenses in the middle of trial. And it was compounded by the prosecuting attorney pointing out both in his closing, lead closing argument and his rebuttal that there had been no evidence of the alibi presented. And the prosecutor also argued to the jury that the statements of counsel are not evidence. And then the court instructed the jury that statements of counsel are not evidence. And it was trial counsel's own testimony that this wasn't even the best defense in this case. The best defense he felt would be to argue for a lesser included offense of a B or C felony battery conviction. Mr. Atkins had told him he wouldn't testify. Trial counsel believed he could not get the court to instruct on the lesser included offenses, and therefore he testified at the post-conviction relief hearing that he went.
Lesser included offense was not going to be a very successful plea. Right? Stabbed her 12 times.
The wounds were actually, the wounds were all less than a centimeter or less in depth except for one wound on her hand. So I think it is a viable defense.
But wasn't there some of the stab wounds came within an inch of her heart?
Yes, but I mean, I think that was referring to the location.
Okay.
Well, yes, but that just shows you don't need a very long blade in order to endanger a person.
This was quite a long blade. He easily could have killed her if he wanted to. This was alleged to be a steak knife use. He easily could have. I've had juries, where there's multiple shootings, numerous shots, come back and say, well, if he wanted to kill the person, he would have.
Mr. Koselke, isn't this just a clear case or example of where the lawyer had several trial strategies? He, in his opening, mentioned this alibi, and then during the course of the trial, it appeared that he was going with the misidentification issue. And then somehow the lesser included instructions also got in for the jury to consider. So they had multiple defenses, not just the...
But the defense he started with, and it was unreasonable to use, was the alibi defense, knowing there was no evidence. He then switched defenses, and he couldn't argue the lesser included of the defense at the point the trial court gave him sua sponte, because he'd been arguing alibi and misidentification. I believe my time's up.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Koselke. Ms. Miklos?
May it please the Court. The state court reasonably applied federal law. The trial counsel gave constitutionally effective representation in making a strategic decision to challenge the state's identification evidence and challenge the credibility of the victim. Atkins' claim fails for four main reasons. First, the argument lodged by defense counsel at trial was a reasonable strategic decision. It was well-informed, and it was based on the state's evidence. Number two, Atkins' trial counsel cannot be said to be deficient in making a strategic decision to forego a defense that the petitioner now argues he should have made were at the time he was uncooperative, he was unsupportive, and it would have effectively required trial counsel to walk into court and admit the client's guilt on the lesser included offenses of invasion of privacy, criminal confinement, and domestic battery, where he did not have his...
I understand you to say, if I could take it back just a little bit, that part of this purported presence in Georgia was based on the government or the state's evidence?
It was completely based on the state's evidence. He never intended to put forth any evidence that he was in Georgia. The argument was made based on the state's evidence. Therefore, it was not an alibi evidence. Alibi is specific. You have to file the notice because you intend to proffer evidence to support the alibi. And number two, it has to be a specific place that you were at the time of the offense. It's a very technical procedural rubric that you have to follow, and that was not the intention here.
Was there any objection to him proceeding that way when he hadn't filed a notice of alibi?
No, and the state would have been the one to object that he couldn't lodge that argument, and that wasn't done. And in fact, the state characterized what the defense counsel did was he put the state to its burden of proof. He challenged the state's evidence. He challenged the credibility of the victim that was the only person to identify the defendant.
And you say the lawyer based the argument that his client had been in Georgia on the state's evidence?
Yes, Your Honor.
What was that evidence?
The evidence was that he had no means of transportation, and that following the offense, he made a phone call from Georgia to the victim. He was also apprehended in Georgia. There was there was a search of the perimeter around the house where the offense occurred. They never found the defendant, so there were several facts presented to the jury for him to make that argument. Second of all, I'd like to make a comment having to do with the stab wound suffered by the victim. There is no evidence in this case that the stab wounds were only 1 centimeter in depth. The transcript clearly says on page 259 and page 260, the doctor was asked about the external injuries to the victim. And when he was describing the external injuries, he described stab wounds 1 centimeter. That would be describing the length, what was seen on the external part of her body. The second question was, what were the internal wounds? The internal wounds were extensive. There was stabbed her in the spleen. There was internal bleeding. There was a stab wound that came within 1 inch to a half inch of her heart. The victim herself described a rushing of air when that stab wound was made, and that the blood with the beating of her heart was gurgling out of her chest. So the stab wounds were extensive, and it required surgery that literally there's a picture in evidence that the doctor had to open her from literally stem to stern in order to make sure that all of the wounds were cared for properly. So the depth of the stab wounds, that was never testified to, and it would have been a mischaracterization of the evidence for trial counsel to lodge a lack of intent to kill argument based on the medical evidence.
Is Mr. Kaselke correct that often, even though there are multiple gunshot wounds, a jury will just convict of battery rather than of attempted murder?
Of just a regular battery? I have not seen that, Your Honor. Possibly
just
an aggravated
battery or something, but not attempted murder.
In all the cases that I have read as an appellate attorney since 2004, I have seen juries come back with interesting verdicts. so I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibilities. But here we're looking at trial counsel, and he had a very difficult decision to make. He had a client that wavered. Your Honor, I see that my time.
No, go ahead.
He had a client who wavered back and forth about whether he was there, whether he wasn't there. On the eve of trial, he told his counsel, no, go with the misidentification. It's all or nothing. And trial counsel, knowing that he did not have his client's support and that he wouldn't testify, decided that that was not the best strategy to go with lack of intent and to just challenge the state's evidence. Your Honor.
Why didn't he pursue the Georgia, the line of argument at the trial? Because you suggest, you say he could have pointed to the state's own evidence to support that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, are you referring to trial counsel?
Yeah.
He did make that argument in his opening.
Yes, but why did he drop it?
In closing, I view his argument not as doing an about-face and abandoning that argument, but seeing how the evidence came through to the jury, he kind of took a step back and argued many points of reasonable doubt. You know, he said, look, you've got reasonable doubt over here, you've got reasonable doubt over here. If you don't believe the victim's telling you the complete story, you've got reasonable doubt. So, I think he kind of backed up and did a more general reasonable, you know, that they had reasonable doubt not to convict him.
Great. Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Miklos. And Mr. Kozelka, does he have any time left? A minute? Do you have anything further?
Just briefly, Your Honor, the state's changing the position when it stands here and argues that it was not an alibi defense. In their brief to the Indiana Court of Appeals, they referred to the defense as an alibi/misidentification defense. Also, trial counsel himself described it as an alibi defense.
But if it was an alibi defense, then wouldn't his mistake have been not to, you know, satisfy the procedural prerequisites to an alibi defense and push hard on the Georgia, push that Georgia argument hard? Wasn't that a good argument?
Well, there's no evidence to support it. There was no evidence submitted at trial that Mr. Atkins was.
No, it wasn't submitted, but what? I mean, your argument is that it was a mistake to mention Georgia, but from what Ms. Miklos said, it sounded as if the mistake was not to push the Georgia argument. Presenting evidence about the phone call or other evidence, right?
The federal district court found that it was the central focus of trial counsel's opening argument that there was an alibi defense, that Mr. Atkins
wasn't his mistake. Why aren't you arguing his mistake was to fail to push that argument?
Because it's a false argument.
Because it was a lie?
It was a lie, as the district court found. He knew it was a lie.
Yeah, but the jury wouldn't have known. They had the phone call and so on.
There was no evidence to support it. It was a lie. It would have been an ethical violation.
All evidence.
Pardon me?
The phone call from Georgia.
That was some time after the stabbing occurred. That was not at the time of the stabbing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not?
No, Your Honor, private. You were.
Well, we thank you, and of course, Ms. Miklos, for your efforts on behalf of your respective clients. And the court will be in recess until.